Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, my second show today on August 25th, 2020, and it's going to be a good one with a favorite guest of ours, AESAs, the Educational Service Agencies National Association. Their executive director, Joan Wade, okay, is with us, and she has brought with her from Iowa, Johnston, Iowa, which I found out today is the safest city in Iowa. We'll talk about that. Okay. Sheila King, who's their CIO, their chief information officer at the Heartland AEA, which stands for Area Education Agency in Iowa, and also the regional director of the Heartland AEA, again, in Iowa's safest city. Okay. Amy Wickman. So it's going to be a lot of fun talking about this show because they have prioritize social justice and equity with the with their leadership team, okay, and creating curriculum, etc., for the thousands of schools and students that they work with, okay? It's going to be – I love doing a show like this, and Joan and Sheila and Amy, I'll bring you on in just a second. We're going to archive this show at education-talkradio.org. We put a new schedule up there. On Saturdays, please go over there, check out the website. It's really nice. We have news. We have all the old shows we've done, et cetera, et cetera. Please also, and I say this specifically to my guest today and everybody listening, please join our consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. It's free to educators. We want your voice heard. We'd love to publicize what the Johnston, Iowa is doing, okay? Get involved with us. It's free, like I said, at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, and you'll enjoy our Equity and Access magazine over there, online journal, on site. Please join with us, ace-ed.org. And without further ado, until everything stops spinning here, let me bring on the amazing Joan Wade, Dr. Wade, and Sheila and Amy. Joan, are you there?
Good morning, Larry. I'm here and very happy to be with you today.
I'm thrilled you're here. As always, my friend, it's always great to have you here. And before we go any further, I'll bring you ladies on in just a second. I know you guys are going to have your conference this year. You think it's going to be virtual or live and in color in Orlando? What's going on, Joan?
Oh, I'm quite sure it'll be virtual. We are in the midst of pivoting that right now. As much as we would like to be in person, that's just not a reality.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that because I was looking forward to going down to Orlando in the winter from Maine. But that is not going to happen this year, but maybe I can join you virtually. AESA at AESA.org, okay, is a great organization, everybody, and they are the hidden gem, I've said this a million times, of education, all the ESAs, 526 organizations in 26 states, so please go over to AESA.us and you'll see what I mean. Okay, thank you, Joan. Sheila, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Call me Larry, please. And Amy, are you there as well?
I am. Hopefully you can hear me.
I can hear you perfectly, and it's a pleasure to have you. So let me ask Amy. Amy, you're the regional director. What's it like to be living in the safest city in Iowa, which I found out on the internet today? The safe Johnston, Iowa, near Des Moines. Yes. Tell us about Johnston.
Well, I've only actually lived in the area for 4 years, so I'm probably not the expert that you should be asking. But so far, it's been great. We've obviously had a very, very, very busy summer trying to get our schools up and running. And so, really, it's delightful.
I'm glad to hear that. And Sheila, you can tell us about Johnston, Iowa, if you've been there longer. And also, I have to ask, Iowa got really hit with those bad storms last week. Are you guys all right?
Yeah, you know, we are very fortunate, Larry, that, you know, not only the safest area in Iowa, but there's something we like to refer to as Iowa Nice. And, boy, that has really shown up.
I agree.
it really shown up in these after this storm. We've had a lot of folks who've endured significant damage and power outages and property. So it is. Yep. Especially in one of our neighboring areas around Cedar Rapids, it got hit the worst. But we're fortunate to be here in a great place where People really care about each other. I think that is a hallmark of many areas around our great country, and certainly Iowa is one.
It sure is. It sure is. I'm glad you guys are safe. After all, you are the safest city in Iowa. Johnston, everybody.
Exactly.
I know this. Even the storm knew to stay away from Johnston. Okay?
It did.
Right. Right. What can I tell you? It's really great. And so, all right. So you're the regional director, Amy. Get back to you. Let's talk about your what you call an area education agency. We refer to them as ESAs, Ed Service Agencies. Tell us about Heartland, and then we'll get into your whole idea with social justice and equity. But tell us what the group is like, who you serve, et cetera.
Well, we serve about 150,000 students in the area and 52 school districts.
Wow.
Additionally, we serve
Huge.
Both private and public schools. And much of our work is focused around both general ed and special education. And
yeah.
We intend to be the best partners and collaborators that we can with our school districts, particularly during this time. We've found a great deal of benefit in true partnerships, good relationship building in order to provide them with the services and the partnerships that they need and they desire, you know, all throughout the year, not just during a pandemic. But
nice.
Essentially, like I said, it's special education services, general education
oh, yeah.
services for students birth to 21. And so it's an organization that has a lot of pride in our longevity with the state of Iowa in being a vital partner to our schools.
Nicely said. Thanks, Amy. And Joan, you live in Wisconsin. Are you moving to Johnston where it's much safer?
That's not a bad idea right now.
There you go. I'm just a thought. Just a thought. Okay, I'm only kidding you guys. I'm sure it's wonderful out there. I just ran across that factoid today and couldn't let go of it. Okay, you're doing
Absolutely.
A great job. Yeah, and Sheila, okay, your CIO over there, and Joan is excited about this show. I know she's excited about the show. I'm so glad she brought you on. Okay, prioritizing social justice and equity with your leadership team. All right.
Mm-hmm.
When I say those words, okay, and you two ladies are part of that leadership team, what do you mean when you say you're doing that? I mean, we got to increase the understanding of such things, and just talk about that as I use that social justice and equity phrasing. Okay, what are you doing over at Heartland to make that more reality in curriculum and in the schools? Sheila Kate.
Sure. Thanks, Larry. You know, equity is something that is at the heart of why AEAs exist. We have been, you know, we really care about meeting the diverse learning needs for all the children and students. So, you know, in our over 40-year history, that's been at the heart of why we exist. So even though we've had this as a core principle for a long time, you know, the context today has really forced us to look at ourselves and forced us to say, you know, we're hiring for skills and cultural competence, but is that enough? Do our staff members have skills deep enough in equity education to support our schools, you know, continuing to grow and learn? And so we decided that in order to move our organization and really up our game, we needed to start with our leadership team and give them an opportunity to look at themselves and their beliefs and their biases and to help for us to help them help the organization move forward. And in doing that, you know, we were motivated heavily by things that not only we were seeing in our culture, but things we were seeing in our schools and the stories that our students were telling and the things that we were seeing, you know, really missed opportunities to impact kids and educators because we were, you know, missing out on how to level the playing field, really. So starting with our leadership team, we thought that that was a great way to get, you know, raise awareness and mm-hmm. also up our game in how we can support our school districts.
And, you know, I loved what you said at the beginning, and Joan, we've always said that, but we never articulated it, and I love this, and it's true. You said at the beginning, Sheila, equity is the heart of your area education associations or any ESA. And, you know, and Joan, you know, that is absolutely accurate, okay? The goal is to spread the wealth equally, if I may just use that kind of a term, and deal with the special ed and the technology and make sure everybody has equal access to it. That was well said, Sheila. I appreciate that. Okay? I really do. And I am a big fan of ESAs, no matter what we call them. Okay? When you talk about that, and that's, you know, I say this, and not just to you, I say this to everybody and myself. Social justice and equity are easy words to say, and we believe in that. Okay, we're not going to argue with that. Okay, we all believe in that. Okay, sure. We all want that to happen, but it's harder to do than say. Okay, and so I don't know, and I'll give this to you, Sheila, but then you can pass it to Amy if you wish. Okay, once you recognize the need to do that, what happens next? Okay, how are you making this a reality?
Yeah, well, that's a great question.
That's a tough question.
It is tough, and it's a little bit tougher, I think, in our current context when we're not bringing our people together in the same space. We're still working heavily remotely, and so we pulled a group of our leadership team together who have passion and interest, Amy being one of them, and we, you know, talked and planned, and the first thing that we did in bringing that group together was put focus on what was our leadership retreat going to look like. And I'll let Amy talk about how that team worked and how we put that retreat together, because that was really a pivotal kicking off point. And in looking back on it, I will say, some of the conversations and the experiences, even over Zoom, were some of the deepest, most rich I've experienced at Heartland. And we've gotten feedback from members of our team about that. So, Amy, do you want to talk about how we put that together?
Amy?
Sure. Yeah. So, essentially, that representative group of leaders really dug deep during our planning sessions to determine what it was that were our strategic goals around this, and in particular, how we would move. So again, like Sheila said, we've often talked about this, and it has always been a priority for our agency. However, how do we take it to the next level was the question that we really grappled with. How do we really start to impact change, and how do we really change relative to the term social justice and equity, so that we're actually making a difference and prioritizing it consistently. So this representative leadership team put together some planning meetings, and we as a team grappled with what it was that we would do and how we would reach out to everybody, because when you have a group of leaders, we have about 45 leaders, and everybody is at different places with their knowledge of social justice. Some people have differing perspectives on equity.
I want to stop you for 1 second. I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
You said 45 leaders, okay? Who were those leaders? Were they the 40 superintendents and assistant superintendents, or were they all people worked in Heartland? Could you explain who those 45 were? Yeah.
Yeah, so we have different divisions within Heartland Area Education Agency. Those people were internal staff and internal leaders who came to the table for our retreat. So they were people who manage all sorts of facets of our workplace and our organization. And so they were leaders of the physical plant. It's leaders of the professional development. sector. It's leaders who are working with superintendents in districts. Mm-hmm. So it's a varied group. And Sheila, did I cover essentially that broad perspective of leaders, or would you add anything?
Yeah, I would just add one thing. I think that if you think about our service agency, we have in kind of two halves. One is heavily focused on the services that we deliver to our schools, and the other half, for just, you know, perspective, is all of those internal functions that help support our staff who are delivering those services. So HR, business, technology, information systems, our library, professional learning. You know, we've got a fantastic system for delivering resources. We've got a creative services and print shop. So there are, we've got leadership in all of those areas. And when we bring our folks together, we think of them all in that, through that lens of leader and someone that has an opportunity through working with their teams to influence and impact outcomes for kids. So no matter where you sit as a leader in the organization, we see your work as making an impact on those kiddos. So widens the net a little bit. Yep.
Yeah, and that. Thank you both for that explanation. I just didn't. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood, including me, who the quote leaders are. Okay, and thank you for doing that. Do you want to, Amy? So what happened once you got everybody together, okay, or however you did it? And I realize it's all on Zoom or whatever these days. But talk about what happened next, Amy.
Yeah. So we spent 2 days together, and like you said, over Zoom, which we were worried about for sure.
Yeah.
Some of the things we did during those 2 days, which I think were compelling, is we decided we wanted to hear from students that we served. So the very first thing we did on the first day of our retreat is we actually had a panel of students, and we provided them a list of questions. And there was a sixth grade student, a high school student, and someone who just graduated from high school. And they actually were able to tell their stories from their perspective. They were able to share with our leaders things that had occurred to them and maybe had been done to them in our schools. They were able to reflect on their experience in education, public education in our area. And that was a compelling and heartwarming start to our retreat, because certainly people were surprised at and shocked at some of the things that we as leaders perhaps thought maybe weren't happening in schools, but indeed was happening in schools.
Sure.
So we started with that. We had a fabulous facilitator who facilitated us in and out of our activities. And one of the things she did was our team also journaled. So we each had a journal. And every time we heard a different group or learned something, we would take time to reflect, because that's what we want our students to be doing. They want to be reflecting on their learning. That metacognition is really important to growth and development, and we wanted the same for our leaders as well. So then we had an adult panel, also from our community, talk about some of the social injustice that they've experienced, some of the equity issues they would draw our attention to.
Were these African American or Latino people, or who were these people?
We had a mix of people in the community, and we asked them some frank questions, you know, in particular, how can we make a difference as a group who's underrepresented with minorities? And so we were really digging in on this. Then we also were able to have someone from the New York City Leadership Academy come and share how we needed to start our leadership journey together. So we had, you know, a person with an expertise in this area share with us dispositions of leadership teams and organizations, and we dug into those with her and were able to, again, journal and reflect on our growth and development. We were able to determine which of those dispositions should guide our work for the rest of the year. We made personal commitments, And really, at the end of the 2 days, our leader, John Sheldahl, who is our chief executive officer, really actually charged us to figure out where we were going to make a difference and how we were going to make improvements in our workplace, make changes in our personal and professional experiences that we brought to the organization. And so essentially that was the 2 days, but it was powerful.
Well, that is very powerful, I have to tell you. And I was trying to figure out, you answered me, New York City Leadership Association. I had NYCLA dispositions down as a note, but I didn't know what that meant. So I thank you for clarifying that. That was very helpful. Okay. And I'm,
they've done this work for years, and so they have specifically equity leadership dispositions, and that's what we focused on.
Good enough. That's just great. So all that said, let me swing back over to Sheila. That was Amy, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Sheila, okay, you go through this, and it can be heart-wrenching and certainly an excellent experience. Okay. What happens now? All right, so now, and John, your leader, your CEO, said, all right, we got to make changes based on what we've learned. So when was the retreat, and how have things changed, if at all?
Yeah, so I think the retreat was about 3 weeks ago, maybe
cool.
three
nice.
Or 4 weeks ago. Yeah, so pretty recent. And since then, to be honest, we've really focused on getting schools up and running.
Of course. I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But it's going to – let me ask it a different way.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want you to feel like you're on the hook or anything. You're not.
Okay? No, that's okay.
All right. 3 weeks ago, you've had time to do that. You've had time to reflect on it while you're doing other things, getting ready for school in the craziest year ever. Okay? Let's be honest. All right?
Yeah.
And by the way, don't feel bad. Nobody knows what they're doing. So don't feel bad that you don't either. We're all just doing the best we can. That's teachers, administrators, superintendents.
Everyone.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So don't beat yourselves up for that. Okay? But now it's 3 weeks. You've had time to think about it. From your CEO, he's kind of said he's given a mandate. Let's make a change based on what we've learned. So what's going to happen? Let's do it that way as the year starts to roll on. Okay? And I'll ask you that one, Sheila.
Sure. Well, one thing that is going to happen is this team that we pulled together is going to continue their work. So we're going to leverage their passion and knowledge and really build on what happened at that retreat, because we do have some momentum, I think. I think everyone was touched, and everyone, their hearts and minds are open to thinking about our work differently. And, you know, we've had feedback like, things like, We need to look at people in our state and in our area who have really made a difference, but maybe we don't know enough about them. And let's start naming rooms in our buildings so we can start telling the stories of those folks. Let's look at maybe doing an personal audit and trying to dig into our own beliefs and maybe do some coaching. We've talked about how we message our services and what that looks like in our messaging and our branding. We've thought about employee engagement and what vehicles we can use to help our staff know that this work is important and that we're all in it. And our chief administrator, we just had our all-agency meeting via Zoom, over 700 people.
Wow. How many people work at the AEA?
Yeah, in our AEA, we've got about 720 people, I think, this year.
Holy
cow. We've got a pretty good size organization.
You sure
do,
but please continue, because you said 65 leaders. I'm thinking, how big is this place? You just answered that, but please go ahead. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so our our chief administrator told our story at the L staff meeting, that this is an area that our leadership team is working in and how we spent some of our time in the retreat. So we want to continue not just learning in our leadership environment, and I need to make sure you don't inflate our leadership team. We're at about 40, 35 to 40,
okay,
depending on the configuration. But
that's a lot. That's still a lot. Yeah,
it's
that's good.
Yeah, it's a good chunk of people. And, you know, we have communication vehicles that we use. We've got, you know, we started a weekly wellness update, and I think some of the things we're learning belongs there. We've started, or we're continuing with, we've got a weekly newsletter that goes to all of our staff, and we're talking about how we can learn together, you know, even with Zoom being our primary,
yeah,
mode of connection. How do we change our lunch and learn environments, and what does it look like to expand our learning to have other teams and include other stakeholders? So these are the conversations that we are having, and
great,
wanting to learn heavily, but also see that learning impact how we support,
right,
children, how we support our teachers, how we support our administrators. I can say that these themes are emerging in conversations we have with our superintendents.
I was just going to ask
our
that.
Curriculum directors. Yeah. So Des Moines is our capital and the largest district in the state, and they are,
yep,
in our backyard. Des Moines has
6.7 miles, if I read Wikipedia right today.
There you go. Des Moines has done a lot of work in this area, and our facilitator is actually one of our staff members who consults with Des Moines in the area of diversity and equity. And
yep,
I think that they have been both good leaders and good partners with us. And so there are things that we have learned from their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the superintendents, given the current context, are also leaning more on each other than ever before. Much more collaboration and communication, at least in our area. So I think there are just unlimited opportunities for
there
us.
There are. Actually, you just said the right word, okay? It's opportunities, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not a homework assignment per se. This is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it is.
And it's a good one, all right, and it's one that we can really jump on, and we can all make a difference on here. And you know, it's interesting. You've got a lot of students there, and I know you're right near Des Moines. I have, just so you know, I live in Maine. I live about 40 miles west and a little bit north of Portland, Maine. Okay, kind of,
yeah,
on the way to New Hampshire. It's a pretty rural area, kind of a beautiful area where I live. All right, in a little town called Cornish, Maine, which no one's ever heard,
yeah,
of in the world, okay? But the things that you're trying to do, okay, are very hard to do, as they are here. This is the point I'm trying to make. In a rural community where there is very little, if I may, diversity here, okay?
Yep.
And I know Des Moines certainly is a diverse town, and I'm sure the immediate suburbs are. But when you start moving out from that, okay, it starts to get less and less diverse, which is just the nature of America, all right? And you really have your work cut out for you in that regard, just like we do here. And I'm really impressed with the way you folks are doing this and looking inward first before you move outward,
mm-hmm,
with it, okay? And that's a key thing,
mm-hmm,
okay? Because as I say, it's all easy to say, but it's not easy to do. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually,
right,
I'll make a point. We have, if you go over to, I'll have to say this, over to our website, ace-ed.org. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Please join up. It's free. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But our point is that we want folks like you in there. Okay? Because we want action on these things,
right,
on equity. We want action on access for all the kids. We learned that problem, well, March 13th, when half the kids couldn't get online. Okay, well, not,
yeah,
half the kids, but you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
right,
you know my point. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. And what you guys are doing is really important to a group like us, and extrapolate that out to everybody. You got to look inward first before you go outward. Otherwise, it's not accurate. You don't know where you're going in it. That's really tough. You get every one of your districts doing that. Okay. So, all that said, so are you going to spread the word on this one, Joan? Have your whole group do this?
Of course. I think that's really why I wanted to bring Sheila and Amy on your show today, because I was so impressed when you have Heartland AEA in Iowa doing equity work. Because
it's great.
It doesn't surprise me when I have a Hamilton County in Cincinnati, Ohio, another urban suburban area. But when you get into the Midwest or the rural parts of our country and people are working hard to do equity training and leadership work so that they can learn it and embed it in their own hearts and minds with their own staff, and then they can take that out to their schools and the districts that they serve, and it just grows. And that, as a country, I really believe is what we need to do, Larry.
We should. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more on that. I could not agree with you more on that. It's just something. And do you see this? I have to ask. I guess this is a Sheila thing. Might be Amy. I'll ask Amy. Amy, are your districts, and you said that they're interested in this, are they looking for changes in their curriculum or changes in their materials? What are they looking for when you talk to them about this, your districts? And I realize, how many districts do you work with? A lot, I'm sure. Every district's different. How many
53.
Districts?
53, yeah. Okay,
that's
I had that wrong. I said 52 earlier, but it's 53.
53,
so,
that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's worse than 52.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 53.
Yeah.
All right. And so when you work with 53 districts, all made up of different people, okay,
mm-hmm.
Are you seeing that they want to really make this happen?
Well, I think the great news is our staff at Heartland AEA, who goes into the district and works with the districts intimately as partners and collaborators. I think the great news is that those conversations are happening. And
yes.
Those conversations are being received by the district positively, and our staff more and more is feeling confident about making sure that we are having equity in the conversation all the time.
That's wonderful.
And
I'll tell
there.
You, they do not know. You get an outlying rural district like mine, okay? They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They want this to happen, but they don't know how to make it happen. And a lot of them
right.
don't have the resources, okay? It's not like they don't
yeah.
have the thought power. They don't have the resources, okay? And it's difficult,
yeah.
all right? And the
mm-hmm.
easier you make it, yeah, the easier you make it on them, the better off they're going to be, and they know they're going to love you for this, 53 districts.
Well, I think some of it's in the little conversations, right? Last year, last 4 years, I've worked intimately with a district of about 800 kids, and even when I'm sitting at the table and having the conversation, it's even bringing up little things like, should we call our groups, instead of calling them subgroups, calling them groups, because sub is indicative of less than. If
That's
we
right.
are talking about dropouts, maybe they should be called pushouts. I mean, you know, it's those little things in the language that we're hopefully
mm-hmm.
bringing to districts.
Good
just
point.
To have them start thinking about those things, and even sitting at the table with that really small district, there would be times that I would say some things and they would say, wow, I didn't even think about that. All right, well, we'll make that change, or we will consider that, or wow, thank you for bringing that to the table. So I think
mm-hmm.
it's those little conversations that we have to start, even though they have a population of zero minorities or zero
yeah, exactly.
Groups.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
exactly.
having all of us speak the same language, bring the same content forward. One thing that I really have held my hat on for the last few years is the Maya Angelou quote, which is, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. And that's really where we are in Iowa. And I think in the
yeah.
country, like, we think we're doing a good job, but when we know better, we can absolutely do better.
Yeah, and the trick is to know better, okay? And then
yep.
move forward. And that's the same thing, because all those kids, no matter where they are, be that here in Maine or in rural Iowa, okay, they're not going to stay where they are. They're going to go out into the big world more than likely. okay? And they have to understand there is a bigger world out there, and it's a world that really matters to them, and kids are great to work with. You guys are doing a great job in Iowa, the safest city in Iowa, Johnston, Iowa, okay? It's great. And this area education agency called Heartland, everybody. So, Sheila, Amy, be proud of yourselves and keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks for giving us a chance to tell our story, Larry. It was great.
Well, tell our story. Why don't you write us an article for our magazine? Go join our consortium and write us an article about what you're doing, and we can really get the word out. Would you be interested in that? I'm the publisher. I can say yes. Let's do it.
Oh, that's great.
Do it. Okay. Good enough. I don't have your email. So, Joan, would you connect us all via email?
I would be happy to do that, Larry.
And Joan writes for us all the time, right, Joan? Not this issue, but the future. You always do. You missed this issue. I forgive you.
Yeah. No. Well, yes, I try to, or I try to find somebody like Heartland.
We'll get Heartland in the next issue. How's that, Joan?
Perfect.
All right.
Terrific.
I'm serious about this. She knows me. I'm serious about this. We'd love to hear.
Hey, us too.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really good stuff what we're doing. ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Join up with us, and boy, we'd love having you. Okay, Joan, thanks a million. You got some real winners, I tell you.
Yep. Keep up the good work, Larry. Thanks for making the connection.
You too. You too. Thank all three of you. Okay, thank you for doing such a great job. Oh, my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Joan Wade, who's the executive director of AESA.us, and this is the part of education that's the hidden gem. This is probably my favorite area of education, the education service agencies. Okay? They do so much, and they work under the radar. They really do. Okay, I've been pushing this for years. Sheila and Amy from Heartland Area Education Agency in the safest city in Iowa, almost said New Hampshire for some reason, Johnston, Iowa, almost said New Hampshire again, Johnston, Iowa, okay, go figure why New Hampshire. All right, anyway, great show, thank you all, and I look forward to getting that article. We'll talk about it. Joan, you connect us. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and also all of you, ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs, thanks for listening.